chapter 3. I will begin reading at verse 11. Then we will go into the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, and begin reading at verse 19. Brother Gary Mouton, good to see you tonight. Oh, I saw you come in, and I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. According to the eternal purpose. Everybody say eternal purpose. Which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I begin reading at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew. Now, what do you think that means? Have you ever studied the tares and the wheat? That you have to let them grow, and God will divide them in the end time? There's no way that you can divide it. You have to let tares and wheat grow together. And Paul said that unto the Jews I become a Jew. You're going to win anybody to the Lord, you're going to have to find something they like and something you like and meet on a common ground. Amen. You can't keep yourself up here and have them down here. You're going to have to somewhere get to where you can be compatible with the person you're trying to win. And to the Jews I become a Jew that I might gain the Jews, and unto them that are under the law, as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law, and unto them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Lord, I ask you to take the words I've read here tonight, involve them in our hearts and in our lives, and let us, as we study your word, find the real thing that you have in mind for us tonight. Be near us, we pray, and keep us. And anoint me as I give this lesson to this church. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to use for a subject tonight possess with a purpose. Possess. Everybody say possess. Have you ever seen anybody possess? I don't mean spiritual possession, but possessed by a certain thing. I have seen some men that were so possessed with making money that that's all in the world they ever talked about, or they ever said, or they ever was interested in. The only way that you could hold a conversation with them was to talk about what they were possessed with. Amen. Amen. You know, when some girls fall in love, they become possessed. That's all they think about. Is that guy. And some guys, that's all they think about is the girl. Possessed with a purpose. I've seen some that were so possessed with a dream that dream possessed their very thinking 24 hours a day. If they were awake, their mind was on doing a certain thing. Nothing more, nothing less. One mind, one possession. I'm going this direction. Amen. So when we talk about being possessed with a purpose and a reason, and being possessed with reason enough to do something that is beneficial, that is enlightening, that's strong in the world that we're living in. And when we understand what the purpose of our living is, Paul said in my first reading in Ephesians to you tonight, Paul made the statement, according to the eternal purpose. There is a purpose that will never die. A purpose that will never change. A purpose that will never be diminished. It is a purpose that dominated the very mind of Almighty God. He was possessed with that purpose. Everything he done, everywhere he went, everything he gave was trying to bring about in the minds of men the priority of his soul. Hallelujah. My wife tells me occasionally, quite often, that whatever I set my mind to do, I will do it. How many of you found yourselves to be that way? If you really set your mind to do something, it will be done. Being possessed with that purpose. One of the things that triggered my thinking in this, I read about a sports figure. And his name was Bob Pettit. Small, underweight, frail, young boy. And his whole dream was to play basketball in the NBA. Basketball players are not small, they're not frail, and they're not weak. Today, if you going to play basketball, it is an inducement for people to look at you if you're 7 foot tall and weigh 260 or 70 pounds. Little guy. If you're 6 foot six, you're small. But here he was less than 6 feet tall, and my desire, he said, I want to play. They said, you will never do it. And as a lad of a boy, he started a very strenuous training of himself. Lifting weights, running, trying to eat right. Didn't have the money to buy a basketball, but he took an oatmeal box and nailed it up on the wall and used a tennis ball. All day long. Every time he could. He had oatmeal boxes piled up. When that one would tear, he'd pack another one up. And he'd throw the ball into the oatmeal box. Told that you'll never do it. Junior high school came. On and on with the tennis ball and the oatmeal box. Even after it came to a point that he could play basketball with a basketball at school. Every evening when he went home, he still was throwing the tennis ball. And he still was lifting his weights at home and running, doing all that he could do. A purpose in his mind. A day came that Bob Pettit, small as he was, and all the odds against him playing, the St. Louis Hawks drafted him
Today he's one of the greatest Hall of Famers that the NBA has ever turned out in the basketball world. Where did it start? Not with an oatmeal box and a tennis ball. That was the result of the starting. The start came when he became possessed with a reason, possessed with a purpose, possessed with something that I am going to do it. Oh, that God would allow us as the children of God to become possessed with a purpose. Hallelujah. Let's go on and let me talk about something else. Something more in your realm of thinking. Neil Armstrong. Anybody ever hear the name? Anybody know what he done? What did he do? Neil Armstrong was the man that stepped off of that moon vehicle and put his feet in the dusty surface of the moon. Do you know where it started? It didn't start when they hired him as an astronaut and put him on the payroll at NASA. But when Neil Armstrong graduated from high school, Dr. Gore saw him, and he wasn't all that great a student in his high school days. When they walked out that night, and it was a cloudless night, and there was a full moon, Dr. Gore looked at him and said, "Neil, you've got a great personality, and you're a great young man. What do you plan to do with your life?" Neil stood there and said, "Dr. Gore, someday I'll walk on the surface of that moon." It took him 17 more years. But everything he could study, everything that he could come across in rocketry, everything that dealt with aerodynamics, everything that dealt with the terrestrial, everything that he could study about the moon, everything that he could study, then the space program came. He becomes so engrossed in it. He becomes so empowered with it. And finally a job in the space program, right up the ladder, possessed with a purpose. Oh, that God would let some of us be so possessed with the purpose of Almighty God, that nothing would seem as though it meant anything to us. The Apostle Paul was so possessed with that purpose of God, he said, "I count myself as done. I'm nothing because the purpose." Paul, you sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul, you are a tremendous man. You've got a future in law in front of you. You're going to be one of the rulers. But he was so possessed with doing what was right that when he saw Stephen's stone, he was there to see that it was done right. But somewhere God let a priority get a hold of him. And God, when Stephen was dying, had turned all the afterglow of the Spirit. And Paul saw him as he shone with the countenance of the glory of God. There to do God a service. Possessed with it in his pocket. "I will put all the Christians in jail. I will take care of everybody that don't do the things that we want them to do." Possessed with a purpose to please God. That's why on a Damascus road, when a light shone from heaven and knocked him to the ground, he did not question God. He said, "Lord, just tell me who you are. I'm already possessed. I'm already contained. If you would just tell me who you are, I'll do
no difference.
I'll do it. I read the story, and I have met him on several occasions, being in the medical center and being involved in probably 15 to 18 different open heart surgeries. And I have met Dr. DeBakey, and I've seen the statue of him there at the Fondren Brown building, and the statue looks just like him when he comes out of an operating room. And you look at his hands are slender, fingers are long. He wears dark rimmed glasses, and he looks at you with some kind of an aura about him that you've seen people that you were almost by their power of their very personality, you become almost intimidated by them. I looked at him and I thought, you know, I could have equated it a little different. But I thought, my God, how many men have trusted their lives in his hands? How many men have gone into a place and said, here I am. There's nothing more that I can do. And Dr. DeBakey was up to the occasion. I thought, oh God, when I begin to study about him in this life and how he intimidated me, I should not have let it bend, because far more men have entrusted their lives and their heart in the hands of the ministry. And there they were. They said, here I am. Whatever you can do, I want you to do it for me. No, Dr. DeBakey, you've never had as many hearts in your hands as I've had in mine. You've never had as many men entrusted in your being as there has been in me. But listen, friend, when DeBakey started as just a young man in a pulmonary residency, and he was trying to learn about the heart, when they first come out with a linen valve, that linen valve had to be, when they severed the main artery, they took the clip out. He had just about 4 seconds to fit that linen valve onto that heart. And it couldn't waste any time. By the hour, he stepped with a replica of the heart on his desk. He had that valve turned toward him. He had that heart looking at him with that cut, severed artery. He would sit there by the hour and take that little valve in his hand and fit it over that artery until he could close his eyes and he could do it without ever looking. He could hold the heart in one hand and he could fit it on, and it's not even as big as your finger. There he sat, because someday he knew, I am going to operate on a heart. I'm going to take out those arteries. I've got to be ready to make it work. All possessed with a purpose. If God would let us get so possessed that every hour of every day we're looking at a soul, we're trying to make it fit, we're trying to make it work, we're trying to get a hold of it, we're trying to do what God wants us to do. Oh, that we could become possessed. You know, our witnessing can only be perfected by our purpose. If you really want to know how to win souls, friend, every hour of every day, keep working with the heart. Someday you're going to learn where you do it without even thinking about it. You will be so possessed with a purpose that when somebody comes to an altar, they can't keep you away from praying around that altar. Nobody will have to ask you to come and pray. Nobody will have to ask you to clap your hands. Nobody will have to ask you to worship, because I am possessed. Oh, I hope I can give to you what the Lord spoke to me about. Nobody will have to talk to me about praying. I won't have to be, oh, Monday night, I just stood up suddenly and I said, I am not going to let the devil do it. You that was here, you heard me say it. I'm tired of him running me. I am going to take control of everything that's around me. I'm going to become possessed with people that need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to come possessed with children that are unsaved. I'm going to come possessed with men that need God. No, he's not going to control me. I'm going to praise him when I don't feel like it, because I'm possessed with praise. I'm going to worship when I don't. What is it? What kind of a purpose have you got? Have you ever seen anybody that didn't have any purpose? They're like a ship without a sail, car without a motor, airplane without propellers, or a jet. Just nothing. 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 A car without a transmission. Rev up all you want to, but until it gets in gear. And the purpose of going in here is to get on down the road. Hey, friend, somewhere we've got to become possessed with a purpose. Praise God. What is your life? Hey, the purpose of life is more than making money. I told somebody the other night, members of our church, yeah, you're doing without everything. You're pinching pennies. You're cutting corners. You're stingy with your family. You're stingy with God. You've got it all put up. But I'm here to tell you, you are going to die and your kids are going to fall out with each other over what you're leaving. Hey, it's time to wake up and live. It's time to wake up and use yourself for the kingdom. One life is all I have, and it'll soon be past. Only what I've done with a purpose is going to last. Oh, if I could get it into your heart that we need to be moved by a purpose. We need to be moved by a purpose like we have never, 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 never been moved before. Get me Philippians chapter 4. Brother David, give me Philippians chapter 3 and begin reading at verse 10. Paul said this, that I may know him. Have you ever learned really who and what he is? What kind of a God are you serving? Maybe that's the reason we're not possessed with a purpose. Because we're not really possessed by him. And we don't know really what he is. How many times have I preached about a man that God called a perfect man? And he sat there and withstood all the criticism. He withstood everything that could be brought his way. He listened day in and day out. He listened to his wife when she came and said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you talk like a foolish woman. When he said that, the Lord come and began to talk to him.
Stand up, Job. I want to talk to you about myself.
Job, I want to ask you, where was you when I stretched a swaddling band around this world? Where were you when I put the stars in their orbits? Where was you at when I took the sun and in that ball of molten fire and gas, I put it out there and started it to spin, and I told it to stay in that orbit and never move in the millions of years to come? You just keep going as long as I can. Job, where were you at? Where were you at when I hollowed out the valleys and I pushed up the mountain? Where were you at when I divided the light from the darkness and I made the water fill the ocean? Where were you at, Job, when I put the fish in the sea and the fowls begin to fill the air and the cows begin to low in the meadows and the sheep begin to run from one hill to the other and dance like rams? Job, where was you? And with all of the knowledge he had of his God, when he heard it, he said, "Oh, Lord, I've heard about you with my ears, but now that I see you, I hate myself. I want to hide." Friend, if I could get you to understand the awesomeness, the greatness, how powerful the God that you love really is, but you don't really know him. I know about him, but I need to know him. Some of us know him only contemporarily. Some know him contemporaneously. If you know him in either form, contemporarily somebody told you about him, or he's been drawn through history, and you know him because of what he's been described to be in history. How many of you know General Douglas MacArthur? Come on, put up your hands. Do you know who he is? Who is he? What was he? He was a general in the Army of the United States of America. He's the man that left the Philippines, but looked at him and said, "I will be back. I shall return." He was the man that made the statement, "All soldiers never die. They just fade away." I know him contemporarily. Somebody told me about him. Foster and I was in Europe last year. When we went down on the corner of Hyde Park, just a little ways from Westminster Abbey in London, there was the famous statue of Winston Churchill. There was the cane in his hand, the little derby he had, and the cigar hanging out of his mouth. And I had preached so many times about some of the speeches he made. I stood there awed at history that I was looking at. I only know him contemporarily. Somebody had told me about him. Then, another way you can know somebody is contactually. You can make contact with a person, thereby you know them because you've contacted them. Never will forget, if you tell her I told this, I won't ever tell you no more till I get ready. But one of my nieces, now you try to figure out which one it is. Elvis Presley come to Houston. She went down there and she comes and said, "Uncle Orland, he's not a flash in the pan." I said, "She's not. He's not. No. No." And I said, "Well, how do you know?" She said, "You don't know how he affected people." I said, "Well, how did he affect them?" She said, "Some women, when they walked under the door where he walked, they fainted." They fell out just walking through the same door that he walked through. She said, I got close enough to touch him. Don't want to wash your hand for a week because you touched somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You just come in contact with somebody and you know him. You know him and that's all. Just been in contact with him. Then, you know, I never even saw Elvis Presley in person. I've never seen him. I've heard him sing, and he was a very powerful personality. I can remember some of the songs. Hound Dog in the Window. Blue Suede Shoes. I believe he's the one, wasn't he? Hound Dog, whatever it is, with a long, stringy nose. But anyway, I had an album that was a Christmas album that Elvis Presley sang, and it was one of the most beautiful Christmas albums I ever had. I probably still have it at home. I never really knew him. Some people knew him because they was in contact with him. But then four, there's another way that you can know somebody, and that's as a friend. You become a little closer acquainted with him when you know him as really a friend. But Paul didn't say that I wanted to know him contemporarily. He didn't say that I just want to be in contact with him. He didn't say that I want to just, I want to be a friend to him. But he said that I may know him. And what? And the power of his resurrection.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Oh, when we talk about the power of his resurrection, that I may feel that same surging power. Do you understand what he's saying when he said the power of his resurrection? Taught us if Spirit that quickened his mortal body dwells in you. The one that raised him, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, is the Spirit that's going to take you out of this world and you're going to meet him in a common ground in glory. Oh, that I may know him in the power of that resurrection. I want to know him. Then he said, that's not the only way. There's a purpose in my mind. I want to know something else.
Be made conformable unto his death.
Come up one clause. I want the next, the clause above that. That I may know him
in
the fellowship of his suffering. You won't ever know. Now hear me. You won't never know the power of his resurrection until you learn what the resurrection was all about. Why did there have to be a resurrection? Why did there have to be a grave? Why did there have to be a crucifixion? Why did there have to be grave clothes put in a tomb? Why did it have to be sealed? Why did he have to bow ahead and say it's finished? Why did the veil in the temple have to be a twain, rent a twain? What was the purpose behind it? The purpose behind it was the power of his resurrection. The reason that it had to be, there was a Danny Castillo that needed to be resurrected, dead in the trespasses of sin. There was a Charles
that needed to be resurrected. There was a Brother McMahon that was out in the world, deep in sin, gone. There was a Tim Wigginton in the drug world and on the drug scene. There was a Billy Love, discouraged young man and down, didn't know where to turn. There had to be a power of resurrection. So when the Dannys and the Chucks and the Kims and the Waynes and the Billies came to a place that they needed resurrection, that power that brought him out of the grave could reach them in the trespasses and the gutters of sin, that it could reach down and bring them out and resurrect them out of the world. And Paul said, I want to know. You see, he prefaced that statement, Brother Foss, with the other statement. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. If there had been no suffering, there would be no power of resurrection. Friend, if you really want to feel the power of the resurrection, when there's somebody here that needs God, you become an intercessor like he was in a garden. You sweat as it was great drops of blood. You become willing, I'll die, but I want to see the power of his resurrection. I want to see a soul saved more than anything in the world. When you become possessed with a purpose, you will want to know him in the power of a resurrection. I want you to get what the Lord done to me. I'm not going to let the devil run me anymore. Possessed. 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 My Lord, we don't have to have a prayer meeting where nobody prays. When you become possessed, honey, you will pray. We don't have to have a church service where nobody worships. When you become possessed, you won't mind dancing in the Spirit. You won't mind running. You won't mind getting across this place, because I am going to worship. If nobody worships, if I don't feel like it, I'm going to worship because he is worthy. I am possessed. Possessed. All right, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Read on. If. Somebody say if by any means. Come on, somebody stand up and really say it. My God, do you understand what we're saying? It means that we don't care how we do it. We don't care how it happens. We don't care what it costs. We don't care what we've got to do, if by any means. I might attain under the resurrection. You know, when you talk about under the resurrection of the dead, you want to go to the cemetery. Oh no. Look at people dead. Look at them. Look at them. Ezekiel, can these bones rise again? Lord, you know, Paul said, I want to know about the resurrection of the dead. I am going to be involved in whatever's going on. I'm going to know. If by any means. Read on.
Not as though I had already
Not as though I had already obtained.
Either were already perfect.
I'm going to stop right there. I want all you perfect folks to stand up. Now. Yeah. All you perfect people, stand up.
You know, we use some of the most absurd things. I take it by your silence that there's none to be heard from here. So we'll proceed. And, you know, when we get to talking about perfection, people begin to offer you excuses. Well, I can't do this because of that. Hey, it doesn't matter. In your state of imperfection, you need to praise Him more than anybody else. Hey, there's nobody else perfect. Don't let the devil beat you down. You made a mistake today. All you got to do is step up and tell God, God! God! You know my heart and I love you. So therefore, I'm going to worship. It doesn't matter what Joe thinks. It don't matter what Bob thinks. It don't matter what Chuck thinks. I am going to do it. We let what people think worry us. We let it worry us. But it can't be so. Not that I've already obtained. Not that I'm already perfect. Read. I am following after it that I may apprehend. That for which I am also possessed. The word apprehended, if you go and look into the Greek, it's talking about being possessed. If I can just get a hold of that thing that I want to possess me. Hallelujah. 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 Carl, love God more than you do that little old girl you saw at youth camp. Hey, Gary Burton, love God more than you do that little old gal I seen you out with Sunday night. Marty, talk to God more than you talk to that little old gal. Betty, when you pray for the lost, we're not talking about you praying for the guy that's going to come and saying, Lord, preserve him. Lord, take care of him. You know where he's at. Lord, get a hold of him. Oh, Lord. My Lord. When we become possessed, the thing that I want to possess me is the thing that possessed him to go to the cross. He really didn't have to go to the cross, Brother Tally, but he was so possessed with Marshall Tally being saved, he said, I don't care what it's going to take. If it takes my life, I'm going to do it. That's the reason there's a Jeff Smith sitting in this audience. That's why there's an Andre Smith sitting here. Because he was so possessed. The reason there's a Tony and a J.D. Strap sitting in this church tonight, they did not go so far that something wasn't still after them. The Lord was possessed to bring Tony and J.D. back. I believe that there is a possession going on right now. God is possessed with bringing some of your children back if you can become possessed with what He is apprehended by. Oh, dear God, possess us! Possess us! What is your purpose? What is the purpose of it all? Read on, Brother Foss. Brethren! I don't count myself to have apprehended. But this is one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget everything that's behind me. I'm going to burn the bridges. I'm going to sift the brush, burn the brush and sift the ashes. I'm going to get everything out of the way behind me. Read on. I'm going to reach for those things which are out yonder in front of me. Every night when you go to sleep, you ought to reach. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to do my best. I want Sister Foster to remind me of this. even if we have prayer meeting right on. If she doesn't get up when I get up, when I get home, the first thing I want to do, I want to sit down by her and take her by the hand. I want us that day to challenge the Lord and together tell Him, we are going to reach for those things that are in front of us. Whatever's out there, start the day together. Start it with prayer. I am going to be possessed. I am going to be apprehended. I am going to have a purpose. A purpose! Oh God, I'm going to preach with a purpose. I've never known a compromising world reaching for people like it's reaching today. Oh friend, you don't need to go somewhere where it's not so hard. All you need to do is conform and let this thing apprehend you. Let it conquer you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I've been told so much lately, you preach too hard. Hey, I got news for you. I want it to conquer me. I want to be apprehended by it. I want to be a prisoner of it. I don't want anything to come between me and what the Lord has in store for me. Reaching for those things in front. Read on. I press. 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 What is he talking about? He's not talking about pushing. He's talking about exertion. A little more. Have you ever seen a man win a race? He doesn't go across that finish line with his head down. He goes across it with hands up. His chest out. He's got to break that ribbon first. He's pressing. Look at the bulging muscles in his legs. Look at the perspiration running down his face. Look at the intense agony he's in. Pressing. 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 Pressing toward the mark. For the prize and the calling of high calling of the Lord in Christ Jesus. Oh, that I may know Him. What do you know about Him? I want to know Him. A relationship. My God. What kind of a relationship have you got with the Lord? That we might know Him. I want to tap in to His wealth. Amen. I want to tap into His power. I want to tap in to His love that I may know Him. Paul said, I count everything but lost to save some brethren. He said, if by any means I can save some. Are you willing to go to any means? Are you possessed with that purpose enough that you're willing to go by with any means? 95%, hear this. I read this in one of our Pentecostal periodicals. This part right here. Just a statement. 95% of all new converts are won by those who have had the Holy Ghost less than 5 years. The survey showed that 95% of all new converts are brought to God by new converts. And I made up my mind when the Lord began to talk to me about this message that I'm going to win some souls. Not just from the pulpit. No, I am going to become a soul winner. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Our chief obsession. Our chief obsession, the chief purpose of our soul has got to be